I appreciate the opportunity to do this again. I've done this, I guess, several times before. I don't know if this is fifth or sixth time, something like that, to do this. And I wish I could say I was less nervous this time than I was the first time, but I'm not. I know the ones of you men that have done this before, it's something about being up here behind this pulpit makes me pretty nervous. I've been teaching Sunday school classes for several years now, and teach the teen class on Sunday mornings, and have kind of finally got to where I'm not terribly nervous. I still get nervous even teaching a Sunday school class, but finally have gotten a little bit more comfortable with that. But like I said, something about standing up here is a whole different ball game. So pray for me as I do this. I'm not the most eloquent speaker in the world, and being nervous doesn't help either. But just pray for me. Like I said before, remember Brother Isaac and his family as they're traveling. They're on of course, much deserved vacation, and just pray that they make it back safely. I want to talk tonight about compassion. I look at a few verses in the Bible about compassion, and I've got a few quotes that I've read while studying this from different people outside of the church and inside the church from early Christians that talk about compassion in the early church. And I love, you know, one thing I love is reading about the early church and some of the early Christians, and love learning about those things. While I was studying for this, I read a story about a man showing compassion. And it says, on one evening, a Scotsman was riding in his limousine when he saw two men along the road eating grass. Disturbed, he yelled at his driver to stop and get out to investigate. He asked the man, "Why are you eating the grass?" "Well, we don't have any money for food," the poor man replied, "so we have to eat grass." "Well then, come with me to my house and I'll feed you," the Scotsman said. "But sir, I also have a wife and two children with me. They are over there under that tree." "Okay, bring them along too," the Scotsman replied. Turning to the other poor man, he stated, "You come with us also." The second man, in a pitiful voice, then said, "But sir, I also have a wife and seven children with me." "Very well then, bring them all," the Scotsman answered. They all piled into the limousine, which was no easy task. Once underway, one of the poor fellows turned to the Scotsman and said, "Sir, you are truly too kind. Thank you for taking all of us with you." The Scotsman replied, "No problem, glad to do it. You'll really love my place. The grass is almost a foot high." That's not exactly the type of compassion that I hope that we show as Christians, but he was trying to help in his way, I guess. I just want to start by saying I'm unbelievably grateful for the compassion that this church has shown me over the years. You know, the people in this church, you know, I can think back. I can look across every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, and see so many people that have invested into my life. You know, I see people that have taught me Sunday school over the years when I was growing up. I'll never forget people like Brother Bill Riddle. When I was a kid for about two, at least 1 year, maybe two, I don't remember exactly, he taught a Sunday school class, and I was the only kid in it. You know, he took time out of his week to study a lesson for me, to teach me. And that meant so much to me. And that's, you know, I'd forget if I tried to list everybody. Brother Steve taught my junior class when I was growing up, and taught me so much. You know, I'm so thankful for all of the ones who've taught me over the years. Sister Kim Chandler, she taught a Sunday school class when I was 7 years old. And I still remember it like it was yesterday, going into her class, and, you know, just like any other Sunday. But, you know, she had the little handouts that they give us, that we still give the kids today. You know, they have a little picture on the front of them, have some puzzles or different things, Bible verses and different things for them to read and take home. That particular day happened to have a picture of the lesson was about hell, and it had a picture of a little cartoon man on the front of it, and there were flames around him. And it was a picture of this man in hell. And the lesson was about hell and who goes there and why they go there. I remember that morning realizing that I was the sinner that she was talking about. I remember realizing that morning that if I was to die that day, I would be the man on the front of that paper, that I would be in hell. That evening, it was about 27 years ago, that evening, that Sunday night service, I was sitting back there in the back on the side, and I remember getting up, walking down this, the side of the church to the altar right here. I repented of my sins, and I put my faith and trust in Christ that day here in this church because of the compassion that this church has shown. You know, I get to go to heaven now because of the compassion and the people who invested in me, and of course because of our Savior. You know, I get to go to compassion, but you know, this church played a big part in that, and I'm so thankful for it. You know, I love this church. I love the people in this church, and that's saying something because I'm related to a bunch of you. You know, I mean, I was born on this side of the church, and I'm married into this side of the church, so. I've done my part to bridge that divide. So, you know, I love this church to death. And as I've read about compassion, you know, the thing I guess that made me want to do the lesson, Brother Isaac asked me a couple weeks ago when I was trying to decide what to do the lesson over. I recently got to go to Tulsa, me and a couple other men from the church. Got to hear a guy give some lessons on evangelism, and I thought they were very, very interesting. One of the things that he talked about was compassion, and how important compassion is to our lives when we think about reaching the lost around us, and just being an example for our communities, how important compassion is. And I also recently was reading my Bible and was reading in Jude, and happened to read, I think it's verse 22. And if you've got your Bibles, will you turn to Jude, and we're going to read verses 20 through 25. Jude, verses 20 through 25. It says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." As I read that, you know, I love reading those marathon books like Jude that take months and months to read through. You know, it's I kind of like those shorter books. But I was reading through Jude, and verse 22 just stuck out to me. And I just kept thinking about it over and over. And when I was trying to think about what to do this lesson over, that came back to me. And I actually think I kind of misunderstood what it was saying at first. But verse 22, again, it says, "And some have compassion, making a difference." And what stood out to me was the making a difference part. I want to make a difference. I want this church to make a difference. But as I was reading through that, like I said, I think I really kind of had a misunderstanding of that, because I don't think that's exactly what that verse is saying specifically. It's talking about reaching people with compassion. When it's saying make a difference there, when we think of make a difference today, and the way we use that phrase, we think of making an impact, you know, something that makes a difference. What that is really something that accomplishes something when we think making a difference. And I think what the Bible is actually saying is that it's drawing a distinction between verses 22 and 23. It says some that you save with, and some have compassion, and then there's a distinction between those and others that you save with fear. But even though, like I said, as I've read through that and learned that, I read some commentaries on it and some different translations about what that was saying, I think I had it a little bit out of context, but I still think it's true. I think that if we want to make a difference in this church, that a big part of that is going to be us showing compassion and having the motivation of compassion. You know, one thing, and I think what Jude was saying there, and I think it's definitely true that I've seen in my own life, is on what little experience I have with sharing the gospel with others, one of the very first things I learned the hard way is that what works on one person doesn't work on the other next person. You know, you're going to reach different people with different things. I think that's what Jude was getting at there in 22 and 23, that some we reach with compassion and some we reach with the way it says fear, which is you know, using another method to reach them. Not everybody's gonna go the same. You know, when I first started knocking on doors, you know, I wanted to be able to read a script. You know, that's the way I really wanted that to work. I knock on the door, and then I'm going to read my part, and I want to hand them the paper and have them read their part, and then everybody ends up saved at the end of the day. And that's the way I wanted it to work. But I learned pretty quickly that's not the way it actually works. And like I said, everybody's different. Some people respond completely differently to what you're saying than others do. And so you just kind of have to take the leading of the Holy Spirit in that. But in any case, like I said, I still was drawn to that compassion. That's why I decided to read about this. To do the lesson on this tonight. One of my favorite things to read in the Bible are the church letters, the things about the early church and those early Christians. I love reading Acts through Jude, learning about the difficulties they went through, the struggles they had, the successes they had. I love learning about them. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Timothy 4:13. And I'm not going to read it, but you can read it on your own or you might know it. But it's such a simple verse. But in the beginning of it, Paul asked Timothy to bring him his coat. What does that spiritually mean to us today? You know, asking Timothy to bring him his coat. But it says so much to me because Paul was a regular person just like we are. You know, just like this time of the year, we all want a coat. You know, it's cold enough outside. I'm sure glad I've got a coat. And Paul, it was getting towards winter, and he knew he was going to need a coat. And so he asked in this letter, he took the time out in one of these verses to ask Timothy to bring him a coat. The kids in the Sunday school class probably get sick of me talking about Paul because I love talking about Paul and the things that he went through, the things he did. But I think sometimes, and I don't know if y'all do the same, but sometimes I get so caught up in reading about some of the things that these men did, and I hold Paul up like he's Superman, you know, that he can leap over a tall building with a single bound and fly faster than a speeding bullet. I think he's some sort of superhuman, but really he's not. Paul was a man that had to deal with the same problems I had to deal with. I can't look at my life and say, well, I can't be a Paul because I'm not, you know, he was different than me. But he wasn't. He had to deal with the same problems I do. And that's one of the reasons I love that verse. I love James 5:17, where it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know, I read in the Old Testament about Elijah. You know, he called down fire from heaven. He prayed diligently, and it quit raining for an amount of time. And then he prayed again, and it started raining. But James says that he was a man subject to like passions as we are, meaning he was just a man. Elijah was just a man. These people that we read about in the Bible aren't some superhumans. And I'm going to read some things about the early church and some of the things they did, the compassion they showed to others. And those things still apply to us today. It's not something where we look at it and say, well, that's what they did. But, you know, times are different now, and we just can't show compassion like that anymore. We should still show compassion as the church today, just like the early church did to those around them. And to each other. The early church, several different writers have said that the early church was known by its love for one another. They loved each other. They were good to each other. I'm going to read a few quotes from a few different people from the early church. Justin Martyr was an early Christian like in the late 100 to 200 AD, you know, very, very early church. He said, "We who used to value the acquisition of wealth and possession more than anything else now bring what we have into a common fund and share it with anyone who needs it. We used to hate and destroy one another and refuse to associate with people of another race or country. Now, because of Christ, we live together with such people and pray for our enemies." Clement of Alexandria wrote about the early Christians and said, "He impoverishes himself out of love, so that he is certain he may never overlook a brother in need, especially if he knows he can bear poverty better than his brother. He likewise considers the pain of another as his own pain. And if he suffers any hardship because of having given out of his own poverty, he does not complain." I don't have all the verses in here, but I don't have all the quotes in here, but as I was studying about this, there were just unbelievable stories about the early church and the way that they... There would be people who poor people that would come into the church that didn't have any food, you know, just very, very poor. The people in the church were very poor. There was none of them that were wealthy. Some of the people in the church would fast for several days so they could save up their food to give to these other people. They were giving of their need, not of their excess. You know, that is incredibly convicting to me, because I look at my life, all I've ever given is out of my excess. You know, I'm not going to take food out of my mouth to give it to somebody else. And that's what these early Christians were willing to do. They were willing to give and be generous and compassionate towards these other people. You know, we have it so easy as a church today compared to the way they had it back then. We are so unbelievably blessed. And we should still be known as a church that is compassionate. In the late 3rd century, so like the late 200s, AD, there was a plague that hit the city of Caesarea. Famine and wars had already wrecked much of the city. There had already been some terrible things that had gone on. When the plague hit, a lot of the residents of the city just decided, I'm leaving, I'm gone. They left, they fled to the countryside. They didn't want to get sick. The people who had got the plague, who were there, had nobody to take care of them. You know, everybody had left. The only people that stayed and took care of those sick people were Christians. A man named Eusebius, I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong, he wrote about that time. He said, all day long, some of them, meaning the Christians, tended to the dying and to their burial, countless numbers with no one to care for them. Others gathered together from all parts of the city, a multitude of those withered from famine, and distributed bread to them all. He went on to state that because of the Christians' action during the plague, he said, the Christian deeds were on everyone's lips, and they glorified the God of the Christians. Such actions convinced them that they alone were pious and truly reverent to God. That this early church, the compassion that they had on their community to care for the sick, to care for the poor, even those outside of the church, helped spread the church. It helped other people. You know, there were lots of pagan religions at that time, but the Christians were the only ones that were staying and helping. They were the only ones that were making a difference in that city. And everybody else looked around, saw that all these pagan religions had abandoned everybody, and realized that these people were truly followers of God. And it made a great difference to them. Julian, who was an emperor, he was a pagan emperor, wrote to one of his pagan priests. He said, when it came about that the poor were neglected and overlooked by the pagan priests, then I think the Christians observed this fact and devoted themselves to philanthropy. They supported not only their poor, but ours as well. All men see that our people lack aid from us. This was a pagan emperor talking to one of his pagan priests, and he was upset because the Christians were out doing these good works and the pagans weren't. And he was upset that the pagans weren't out doing these things, and was trying to tell the pagan priest that, hey, maybe we ought to start doing some of this stuff. But like I said, the Christians at this time in the early church were known for their compassion towards their world. In addition to these examples that we have, and you know, there's a million that I didn't put in here about the early church, our greatest example of compassion is from God Himself. You know, we can look in the Word of God and we can see the unbelievable compassion that He's had on us. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Psalm 78. We're going to be looking at verses 35 through 39. Psalm 78, 35 through 39, it says, and they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, and a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. I read those verses, and you know, how many times in my life has God had compassion on me and forgave my iniquity and not gave me what I deserved? You know, I mean, it's innumerable, the amount of times that God has had compassion on me. You know, I'm so thankful that I don't get what I deserve. I'm so thankful that none of us get what we deserve. You know, God is so merciful to all of us. You don't have to turn here, but Psalm 145:8 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy." Micah 7:18-19 says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, and he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Like I said, once again, I'm so thankful that we serve a God of compassion, that even when I sin against him over and over and over and over and over again, he continues to forgive us. Mark, you know, look at Christ now. Look at some of the examples that we have from Christ himself. Mark 6:31-46. You can turn there if you want to, but I'm going to read it here. So Mark 6:31. "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure such as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came to get together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He said unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to go into the ship and to go to the other side before Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. The reason I read that is you look at the beginning of it, and this was one of the things that the man that we heard speak about evangelism brought out that I thought was really interesting. Is, you know, Christ had been involved in the ministry. He had been just working himself to death in the ministry up until this point. He had been, it says in verse 31 there, that they had been, many had been coming and going. They had not even the leisure to eat. They had been working so hard they hadn't even had time to eat. No doubt Christ was exhausted. He was worn out from ministering to these people. And so he decides to go into, it says he decides to leave to a desert place privately. Him and some of the disciples kind of move off on their own privately to go take a little break. But what happens? The people follow him. You know, the people come after him. Even when he's trying to take this small break, the people come after him. And it says, you know, something like that happens to me. You know, we do, you know, most of y'all know, we do income taxes, and we get really, really busy at the first of the year. You know, there's a couple weeks there where we're just swamped, and we're extremely thankful for the work, obviously, but we're really, really busy. There's a few days in that period of time where, you know, we work from morning to evening and don't have the chance to eat lunch. You know, we just work straight through the day. And like I said, we're thankful to have the work, but at the end of the day, when the door's shut and we've, you know, dealt with the last client, it's a sigh of relief. You know, we're kind of happy, you know, the day's over, we can take a break now, get something to eat. I can just imagine if I went through a day like that and had been pretty exhausted from working and go home, And when I'm pulling in my driveway, 10 or 15 cars pull in behind me all saying, hey, we need to get, I need you to do my taxes. When I'm, you know, ready to go home and rest and eat, compassion probably wouldn't be the first thing on my mind. You know, that's probably not the first thing that would pop into my head. But, you know, Christ isn't me. Christ, you know, he just over and over, he shows compassion. And in this case, when he's just so exhausted from his ministry, he hadn't had time to eat, finally gets a second to get away, the people still follow him. And he looks out, and instead of doing what I would do and getting upset or aggravated or frustrated, he responds with compassion. You know, I over and over in my life, you know, I've tried to do things, you know, I'll try to do things right. I'll try to live the best life I can live, and I still sin. You know, every day I still sin. I don't mean to. I try that my hardest not to, but I still sin. But I'm so thankful that God, even the thousandth time that I sin, still looks at me and has compassion upon me, and still looks at me and is willing to forgive those sins. Mark 6, 31 through 46. I've already read that. Okay. Got behind on my notes. Let me move forward here on my pages. I think I've got 9 pages of notes, and I had timed this at home to see how long it was going to take. And I think I had it down to like 22 minutes or something. And I thought, well, I get up here, I'll start talking fast, and I'll be lucky if I can get like 6 out of that, I'll be pretty happy. But I don't have much left. But you know, I hope that someday somebody can look back at our churches in 2018. You know, someday when 100 years from now, if the Lord doesn't come back, I hope somebody can look back to us now and say, Calvary at Muldrow made a difference in this town. You know, they showed compassion to their community. They were known as a church that loved one another. That were, you know, when people come into this church, they ought to feel the love that we show them. That they ought to know that they're welcome here. And we ought to, that's something that we ought to be known for, just like that early church. You know, I'm sure we've all probably heard the saying, they don't care what you know until they know you care. And that's something that, you know, I don't care if it's the first time you meet somebody and you're, you know, if we're knocking on their door or you meet somebody at the grocery store or whatever it is, you know, we have to come at them with compassion. You know, we have to let them know that, you know, I'm not knocking on your door so I can put a check mark on the back of my Bible. I'm knocking on your door because I care about you and I care about where you spend eternity. You know, I don't want you to spend eternity in hell. And we, if we can get that across to people, that we care about these people, that when we, you know, when on the parade here in a few weeks, you know, if we get a chance to speak to anybody, we need to let them know that we love them, that we care about them, and that we're here to help them, that we're here to we're here for them. I heard somebody say in a sermon one time that, you know, we're all, as Christians, we're all just bugs coming to the light. And, you know, the light being the light of Christ. You know, we don't deserve what we get. We don't deserve forgiveness. You know, we're nothing but bugs coming to the light. And as those bugs, our job is to tell other bugs where the light is. You know, I don't know if y'all, you know, I don't know about y'all outside of my house. If you leave a light on at night, it's like going through a war zone trying to walk around it. You know, it's pretty bad. But, you know, that's what we're seeking after. You know, we should be like those bugs get so, it's always funny to me, you see those little June bugs, and they're so excited to fly into that light. And they'll fly 100 miles an hour straight into it, fall down the ground, and get back up, and they're so excited to fly right into it again. You know, and they'll do it 100 times in a row. But that's the way we should be when it comes to seeking after God, that we are so excited to get to seek after God. And I'm about to close, so if Brother Aaron, if you want to get ready to lead us in a verse of invitation. Like I said before, I think when I first read that verse in Jude, I believe I was taking it out of context a little bit, but I still think it's true. I still think that like it says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. If we want to make a difference, we've got to start with the baseline of compassion, that we need to have compassion, one with another, and two, to our world outside of this. And I'll close there. Just to remind everybody again, because I know Brother Isaac made a point to make sure to tell me, but just so everybody remembers, the Thanksgiving dinner is after, in case anybody came in, Thanksgiving dinner is after service this Sunday morning. So we'll close there. Thank you.